failing is the last.
Well, maybe we could start this afternoon. Thanks for coming. My name is Tom Berger, and I'm conducting the Alaska Native Review Commission, and I'm looking into the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971, and the I've been traveling around the state to every region to hear what people have to say about the land claim settlement, what impact it had on their own villages, their own communities, what difference it made to them, the good points and the bad points, the way the corporations have worked out, where they've worked out well and where they've worked out not so well. And of course, I've been asking people who hold shares in the native corporations how they feel about 1991, that is, if the legislation is not changed, people who hold shares will have the right to sell them in after 1991. And in the places we've been to, I've been to 30 villages and towns already and heard the testimony of about 650 people so far. A lot of people are concerned that if the native corporations, if the shares in the native corporations are sold after 1991 and enough people sell them, then outsiders, other corporations from Anchorage, Seattle, New York, Japan, wherever, would be able to take over the corporations and the land they hold. And people are, I've asked people to give their views on that. Some have said, well, I've got my shares, I'd like to sell them when 1991 comes, and that's my right as a citizen, and that's the way the system works. Others, and I suppose they're very much in the majority, have said, no, the shares shouldn't be sold in 1991, and the corporations should remain in the hands of the shareholders and their children and grandchildren, and shouldn't be fall into the control of outsiders. Then there's the question of taxation of land. After 1991, in the years that follow, the lands that the native corporations hold could be made the subject of a state property tax. That is, if the state decided to impose a property tax, city governments establish property taxes, or borough governments establish property taxes, then the land held by the native corporations would be liable to be taxed, and people are concerned about that issue as well. Then there's the question of the shares. Many people are not happy about the fact that the only people enrolled as shareholders were those who were alive back in December 1971, and that children born since that date have no right to become shareholders unless they acquire shares by their parents' death and their parents will them to them. So these are some of the questions. Then there is the question of native sovereignty, native self-government, that has come up in many places. I'd like to have your views on any or all of these questions. I suppose that you know that in the lower 48 and in other countries, when the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act was passed back in 1971, all that we heard was that Alaska Natives were instant millionaires, had all this money and all this land, and that's about the last we heard of you. And so now I've been asked to come here to see what's happened and to write a report. I'll write my report. It'll be made public in the summer of 1985, and copies will be sent to you, and I'll indicate my views on it, and I hope my report will be helpful to Alaska Natives who are trying to sort out these questions. I haven't been asked to do this by the government of the state or the federal government. I've been asked to do it by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, and by the World Council of Indigenous People. We have everything taken down on tape that is said so that there is a transcript, a record of everything that is said at these gatherings, and that's why Jim Sykes is here with me, to make sure that what you say will be made the subject of a permanent record. So I think we can start. I think I've said enough, and Mary has been around town and I think has given you an idea of what we're up to. If you would like to say something, maybe you wouldn't mind just sitting here at this microphone so that whatever you say can be recorded. That would be helpful to me. And if you could give me your thoughts on any of the issues that relate to the land claim settlement, what you think of it, how it worked out, where do we go from here?
Mary, did you talk to any of the Founder Schumann Corporation?
Mm-hmm.
Or any of them in attendance?
I don't know. Jeff Jacobson is out of town right now, and their office person is very, very new. Some of the people on the board know about it, and I don't know if they will come in.
That's the bill.
Excuse me, but I don't know if it's within the realm of this meeting. I should ask the question. I resent the fact that a civic project like an airport, the improvement of a road or roads in town, could be prohibitive because of the cost of the rock we were born on.
Could you explain that to me, sir?
Yeah. For instance, we say we'd like to have a bridge, a causeway across the reservoir. Just this is an example. And the government agencies look at this and they say, it's out of the question. The cost of rock is too high that we in Sandpoint must pay to a different the group of natives. What is this?
The Aleut Corporation.
Not only the Aleut Corporation. The whole system, is it not?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I always thought that there should be a provision whereby any civic project, an airfield, a road to the airfield, or anything like that, should have a special rate, where it would not be prohibitive for us to improve our city or our environment because the cost of the dam rock is too high.
Well, the rock you're speaking of is owned by the Native Village Corporation or the Native Regional Corporation, I take it.
It's owned by somebody, and the price is pretty high.
I think rock is gravel, and it's owned by the Regional Corporation.
Yeah, we always run into this. Whatever we plan in Sandpoint, we always run into the price of rock. Sand or gravel, there's no sand or gravel as such except on the beach. But we always run into this. And somewhere, I wish that this could be changed.
Well, there is, yeah.
For St. George or on Alaska or any place that wants to build an airport, that price is so high, it doesn't have to be that high for a civic or a government job.
Yeah. Well, that under the Act, the village corporations are required to convey certain land to the local state chartered city government for civic purposes.
Yeah, but see, we're talking about subsurface right now, the gravel.
The minute you scratch the surface, then it belongs to somebody else.
Yeah, I follow you. I follow you. And there's no corresponding provision to 14C relating to the regional corporations and the subsurface resources. I get your point.
We can have all the rock we want, but that price prohibits a lot of improvement.
Could you just give us your name again for the record?
Hubert McCallum. I have one other complaint, if you want to call it that, and that is, since this went into effect, you named the date in the year 79, the Land Claims Act, a lot of older people in Sandpoint and in every village have died in poverty. They died of need of a home, shelter, and clothing, whereas they had, let's say, a value in the corporation, but somehow or other were never able to realize it. And it's still happening. A lot of us are going to kick off before we get a cent, and somehow there might have been a provision for people who are up in age and will die before 1991.
Yeah, that's a point that's been brought up in a lot of places, Mr. McCallum. One of the reasons why it hasn't been done, I am told, is because that under the law, the corporations cannot distribute benefits limited to a single class of shareholders. That is, they couldn't discriminate, so to speak, in favor of the elders by giving them benefits if they didn't, at the same time, extend those benefits to every other shareholder. That's one of the features of corporation law that limits the discretion, if you will, of these corporations in doing something for the elders. It's been suggested the corporations would have to change their articles of association. Perhaps it might be done that way, but you're not alone in raising the point. You gentlemen like to add something?
Would you come to your corporation?
We don't have to be in a corporation. We're just in nothing. We stand there.
Maybe you could just tell us a bit about that.
Could we use the mic on the table?
I think this Land Claims Act was the worst thing that ever happened to this country, myself. Before it ever happened, we always could go out and get gravel or soil or anything we wanted. Now after his land claim came into effect, we can't do nothing anymore. So, unlike Sonac Corporation out there, and there isn't enough money in the corporation, there's only a small corporation, there isn't enough to start any kind of a business out there or build up another village or anything.
Is the village where you have that corporation?
It's out to Sanac Island. There used to be a village out there, but everybody moved here to Sandpoint just about. There isn't anything out there anymore, and I don't think the land is worth anything.
So how many shareholders are there in the corporation?
It's only 26.
And does the corporation do anything? If I said to you, well, what is this corporation's business, what would you say?
Actually, there is no business. All the money we make is on the grazing lease that we graze it out every year. It's all the money we make on it.
But how much does it, revenue does it get from that?
We've been getting $5,000 a year, which isn't very much.
Has the corporation been paying dividends?
Yeah, I've been paying some. That's about all I got to say.
Mr. Gunderson is the president of the Sonac Corporation, which is a non-paying part-time position.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gunderson, and...
Did the Select Corporation pay a dividend?
Yeah. Didn't the Shumigin Corporation pay a dividend when they lost that boat, the insurance monies?
Aleut Corporation.
Oh, it was the Aleut Corporation.
Yeah, I'm a stockholder in the Aleut Corporation here at the Shoemaking Corporation, and my name is Alvin Osterbeck. I was born and raised up here at Sandpoint. And in fact, I and my wife and Judge O'Connor and Flory Lacanoff is the founders of the Aleut Corporation. We were down in Juneau when Bristol Bay was starting in to form a corporation. And what brought it to our attention was Judge O'Connor. The Bristol Bay Corporation had just a long, like a road from Bristol Bay down into Canoe Bay where them two oil wells, where they were drilling them two oil wells at that time. And they wanted to, figured it was oil there, so they were trying to get a piece of land so they could get into Canoe Bay. So Judge O'Connor told us about it, and we didn't think it was right, so we formed the Shoemaking Corporation, the Aleut Corporation, and I was president of it. But you couldn't get anybody interested in it because nobody understood what was going on.
But what year was that?
Oh, this was, see, it was, the deal went through in 71. It was in the 60s, some, I don't know just when, but it was in the 60s. We just happened to be in Juneau, stopped on our way into Juneau and looked at the legislature when they were in session. And there was no money, so I had no time, you know, to be running back and forth, so I turned it over to Johnny Gunderson, and he was president, and then I think after that, Carl Moses got in, and who else was in there? Do anybody remember? This kid from Unalaska, what was his name? And that's when that started up, you know, when everybody started getting in these different corporations. But like some of them said, it's the worst thing ever happened, and I believe that too. At the time when the feds had the land up here, you could lease a piece of land or you could buy a piece of land for up to 5 acres to cost you about $12.50. And after the land claim was in, nobody could get a piece of ground here to build a home on, because there wasn't any more. It was taken up by the Shoemaking Corporation, the Aleut Corporation. And
Shoemaking is the village corporation, right, at the Sandpoint.
And they couldn't give out any land until they sold this, put in this housing project up here, and they sold that at a minimum bid of $7,000, and some of the lots went up so high as $14,000. Guys were bidding against one another on it, you know. And that don't seem right when you have to buy your own land. I can see selling it to outsiders, but to the stockholders, I couldn't see where. I never bought any because I said I wasn't going to buy something that was supposed to belong to me in the first place. And a lot of other things happened. Like I had cattle out on Wassasinski Island since 1938. I had a grazing lease out there. And after this went through, the feds charged us $45 a year. And after this land claim and everything went through, the feds boosted the least about $3,000 a year, so it kind of make it, you know, you can't afford to pay $3,000 a lease for a cattle lease when you can't sell the beef. You can't sell the meat because it's not government inspected. And it would cost you more than $3,000 to get an inspector out here. So you'd be looking at big bucks, and so for using it for your own use is pretty hard. Well, what they're talking about now, if the lease isn't paid on a lot of these islands out here and taken care of, they're going to kill off all the cattle on them. And I think they got Seminoski, about 400 or 500 head left out there, and that's supposed to be on the 15th, I guess, of November or October or November. If they're not taken off, they're going to just kill them, and I don't believe that's right. And whatever they're going to do on Wesnesinski, I don't know, but it's just something that's not right. And the Fed's doing this. So, just like somebody else said here, it's one of the worst things we ever done. And like Mr. McCollum said there, they have to pay for the rock, so before that, you could get the, you know, you could get the rock, but now we don't own anything. Like you said, the minute you scratch it, you're into the Elliott Corporation's ground, and between all the corporations, the Elliott Corporation will get 30% out of the whatever is sold, supposed to be, whatever is sold off your different corporation, and 70% will be divided up between all the other corporations. So they're all holding that into effect that you have to pay for your rock or whatever you're taking off the Native Land Claim Settlement Act. And talking about taxes, you know, all they're making here on this is outside this land sale in the Shoemaking Corporation is the interest on the money. What they have at Shoemaking Corporation have in the bank. And,
you mean from selling the
No, they got money in the bank. The Shoemaking Corporation has so much money. Where they got it from, I don't know, but it's each corporation had so many dollars cash, according to the population. But when these taxes come in, I'm not sure what the taxes is going to be. But I worked on this for 2 years when I was in the state legislature. And I can't see how they're going to be able to pay taxes when right here, the only thing they made any money on is selling them lots, you know, and that's a sale. But outside of making any money off our land, what we have around here is quite a bit. I can't see where they're going to get any money for it unless they can sell it or do something else with it. So it looks like if you can't pay the taxes, the land will go back to the, where will it go back, to the federal government or the state or between the both of them?
Well, ordinarily, if property taxes are imposed by the state, then the land would go to the state if it were seized for non-payment of taxes.
It would go to the state?
Yes. And then they might sell it or they might do whatever. When you were in the legislature, Mr. Osterbeck, was there ever any discussion of establishing a state property tax?
No, all they done was talked about it, but they never came up with a specific figure saying what it would be. What they did say, the Native Land Claim Settlement Act was never figured out to work, that it was figured out to fail. That's what we got down there in the legislature when we were traveling. And I guess it's been tried in other places and been turned down, the same plan. So how much truth is in that, I don't know. But when you look at it, I don't think it's going to work because I can't see when they have to start to pay taxes on. They're not making any money now, like Chris Gunnarsson said. you said about $5,000 a year. You know, that wouldn't even pay the taxes on the land up there if they're going to tax you on the land. So the way it looks, it'll all go back after 1991, or it wouldn't be 1991. It'll be the from the date when the land was conveyed over to the corporation,
yeah,
which here was conveyed over, I imagine, something like 3-4 years ago when we got the title to the land here. Maybe 5 years ago. So it'll be probably another 12 to 15 years before they'll start taxing him. And when you're talking about, Mr. McCollum talked about the older people, there was a lot of them, like my mother was one of the older ones up here, and she passed away, and she got about $300 out of the Land Claim Settlement Act, just the first check they ever got. The only people that got any money out of it is the ones that registered in at large. They have picked up a few dollars, maybe $5,000 or $6,000 now. My sister and some of her children are in that. What?
Large shareholders in the Elliott Corporation.
Yeah. What didn't sign up in Sandpoint or some other community up here, you know, signed up at large. And they paid them, the first payment they got was over $1,000, and then they've been getting $400 or $500 or $1,000 after that. I think it's about $5,000, my sister told me. And they're about the only ones that got anything out of it. But they don't have any title to the land. Where they're getting their money from is the $900 million, what was distributed out, you know. So they're getting a share of that. So maybe you could tell us what you learned on your travels. Now you've been to what, 26 or 46 communities? Some of them in, you know, like up at up north there, what's in on them oil fields, they're making good money. I know a bunch of guys up there, they're leasing out. I saw one lease what they just signed for $13 million. Well, I can see where they want to hold it together, because they're coming out smelling like rose on it. But
well, let me ask you a couple of questions. I'll be happy to tell you what I've learned, but let me see what I can learn from you to start with. You were one of the founders of the Aleut Corporation, you know, getting it going before the legislation was passed. What did you think you were trying to do? I mean, you say the whole thing hasn't worked out the way you had hoped. What were you hoping to do? What did you think could be achieved?
Well, the way we looked at it, everybody else was going in, and we didn't want to be taken over by Bristol Bay or Kodiak, which was the two largest communities next to the chain out there. And the one that was trying to get their finger in here right away, their handhold, was Bristol Bay. That's before any oil was discovered anyplace. So, you know, we thought if everybody else is going to start, we should do something about it. But nobody really knew what was going on, except we got the name in and tried to get things going along with the rest of the communities. Everybody was filing a Land Claim Settlement Act, and nobody knew too much about it.
Well, after you got it going, what did you have anything to do with the setup that was organized by Congress for this?
No, the only thing I had to do with it was I was in the legislature. We were trying to figure out the land, who the land would be conveyed to, federal land, state land, and native land. And that's about all we worked on. See, they were all fighting over who wanted this section of land. We were on the steering council, yeah. And we were in there working for the state, the native corporations, and working with the federal government. That's why we had to go down to Washington, D.C., is to try to get it figured out who was going to get what. But outside of anything else on what they were going to do with it afterwards, we never discussed that.
You said that the Shumigin Corporation took the money that it received at the very beginning and put it in the bank, and that money is earning interest, and out of it they've paid dividends from time to time.
No.
No dividends?
No, they have never voted on to pay dividends. As far as I know, I have never received anything. I don't believe they have. They were talking about starting a business here, you know, and different things, and that never came into anything. One thing, what they did do, they put in this housing project up here, and I'm not quite sure on how much they pay to that. I think it's the roads and surveying.
The cost, the sales of the lots hardly covered the survey. $7,000 minimum didn't quite pay for the surveying fee on the property up there, so there was no income there.
No, but that's about the only project what they've done around here so far, is conveying some land, you know, getting it up for sale so the people could get a piece of ground to build a house on. Before that happened, you couldn't get a piece of ground here anywhere unless you could buy it from the cool storage company or somebody would had a big lot or something like that, because everything else was tied up in the land claim.
I've been to over 30 villages and towns. There's really only one place where they seem to be pleased with their village corporation. That's a place called Kasan in southeast Alaska. And there's about 100 people in that corporation, 100 shareholders. And when they got their land in the 1970s, they sold a big chunk of timber. They have merchantable timber down there, as you know. They sold a big chunk of timber to one of the big companies, Weyerhaeuser, forgotten which one, and they paid everybody $25,000. Every shareholder received $25,000. They put the rest of the money in the bank, and they pay every shareholder $10,000 a year out of the interest earned from the money in the bank. But I have to tell you, that's exceptional. That's the only village corporation I've been to where people said, yeah, this thing worked out pretty well. We really appreciate it.
No. Mention that we are unique in the Aleutians. We don't have timber. The only value that our land has is the surface, which has, grass, alders, et cetera. No value. Of course, you already knew that, but it occurred to us that quite a difference between the grant that the Aleutian people got than the grant that the people of southeastern or Cordova or Afognak, for example, in those areas with valuable timber, valuable material on the surface.
Yeah, there are conflicts in most places. I'm just giving you examples of things that I've come across. There are conflicts in many places between the regional corporations and the village corporations. That is, the regional corporations, because they control the subsurface, are often interested in obtaining oil-bearing land. And last month, we were in the Arctic Slope region, and we went to a little village called Anaktuvik Pass, where the people are engaged in subsistence hunting of caribou in a national park, Gates of the Arctic National Park, and their regional corporation had owned some land adjacent to the park, so they could use that land to obtain access to the park, a matter of some importance to them. The regional corporation traded that land to the federal government for oil-bearing land near Prudhoe Bay,
Well, that meant the regional corporation acquired oil-bearing land. That's what it wanted to do. But it meant that the federal government became the owner of the land that the regional corporation had used to own, that the people used to hunt on and use for access to the park. Now they've been very much restricted in the use of that land because it doesn't belong to their regional corporation anymore. So these are some of the things that you run into around the state. And if you say that you're not happy with the way the land settlement worked out, you're not alone. But I'm really here to listen to you people and find out what happened here and how you feel about it all.
Well, I was going to ask you one more question here, since you brought this up about a big sale they had down there in Southeast. From what I understand, I've been to quite a few of the Aleut Corporation meetings, was, like I said earlier, that whatever is sold out of a corporation, like the Aleut Corporation sold some, they'd get 30%, and the 70% would be divided up between the other corporations. So far as I know, I haven't saw anything that we have received any money from, like North Slope Corporation, what been having these big lease sales, what I told you about. And what is going on with that? Or could you answer that?
Well, they've been fighting over it, and they had a bunch of lawsuits, and they were just settled a few months ago. So I think that that'll be straightened out soon. If I were you, though, I wouldn't count on there being a big pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. I wouldn't be so certain that they've made big money out of in any of these regional corporations. And you know, when it's distributed among the 12 corporations, on a per capita basis, it doesn't amount to all that much once it reaches you here. But that I understand has been settled. They had a lawsuit. It's all been settled, and that should be they should be telling you very soon what you'll get under the 7I provisions.
Yeah. Well, the reason I brought that up is what Colum said there earlier, that we have to pay for the rock we want here to the Aleut Corporation. They're supposed to distribute that out to the other 11 corporations on the sale of the rock, what we take to put on our roads here. And I know that the feds, when they were doing anything here, they didn't want to pay for the rock, because they figured they gave it to us, and now they got to buy it back to put in a boat harbor or road or something for us, or the state or whoever is doing it. So that's one thing what I can't see, you know, when you got your corporation here and you're not allowed to take any rock or dirt off your land, you might as well say we don't have any. You have to buy it.
Yeah, well, you see, that's the way this was set up. All of these corporations are profit-making corporations, and they're supposed to make a profit, and that means they can't give any of their assets away, even to their own shareholders. And that's the way it was set up. And a lot of complaints about that, but that's what Congress wanted to do.
Well, the only dividends we got out here is when they lost one of them crab boats. There was around $3 million insurance, and we all got $100 apiece. And I found out where it came from. They said it came from the insurance on that crab boat they lost out by Deer Island a couple of years ago.
That was the regional corporation.
Right.
Well, let me just go back. Because you and Flory Lekhanov, you say, started off the Aleut regional organization back in the late 60s, when the idea of a land claim settlement was very much in the air and something was going to happen. What kind of a settlement did you think people should get? What were you hoping would happen?
Well, we thought you know, that we would get so much land, right?
As individuals?
As individuals, mm-hmm. And so much money. Mm-hmm. But after you got all the lawyers and everybody else in there, it didn't go like that. So far as I'm concerned, the only ones got any money out of this land claim is the attorneys and some of the presidents in the big corporations. I know that a lot of them made out pretty good. But so far as the ordinary people, they didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah. Well,
they got a good wage, you know what I'm talking about. Like they had up so high as $75,000 a year for wage and expenses. They got something out of it, but the average people have got about $500 or $600 out of the whole settlement claim and no land.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
And you say that you had in mind that there's the land, the people who are of native blood have certain Aboriginal rights to the land, and you say you hoped it would be given so much land to every individual and so much money to every individual. Well, Congress said, no, we won't give it to you as individuals. You set up corporations, profit-making corporations, and we'll give the land to the corporations. And that's what they did, and it's the idea was that you would all become shareholders and businessmen and that it would all work out for the best. People trying to make a profit, trying to make enterprises run, would benefit themselves and the community. That was the theory.
It never worked. Well, that's about all I got to say. Maybe talk later on.
Mr. Buck, did the Shumigin Corporation talk at all, or has it recently talked at all about putting any kind of restrictions on the sale of shares in 1991, or is that something that hasn't come up?
Mary, I think we got one. Are you in on the Shumigin Corporation board?
I'm one of the directors
here. Maybe he could answer some of that there. I don't really don't know.
Yes, sir.
I don't have nothing.
No, what she asked there about...
Nothing was ever discussed in our presence out there.
In what regard?
In the sale of any of the land.
Well, I was 91. Talking about the shares in 1991.
Yeah, no, nothing was ever said about splitting up any of the land to shareholders.
Could you let us have your name, sir?
Yeah, Robert Gallivan, Robert E. Gallivan.
And you're a member of the board of Shumigin?
Yeah, I'm on the board of directors.
Well, just before Mr. Osterbuck, you leave, do you have any views, any opinion about whether or not these shares should be sold in 1991? In other words, right now, if the legislation isn't changed, you can go out and sell your shares after 1991. One of the proposals that's been made many places is that you shouldn't be allowed to sell your shares except to native people, or that if you are to sell them, the corporation should have the right to buy them back. Any thoughts about that?
I never heard it mentioned any place. I heard on different corporations now, like up at the North Slope up there, you know, in different places, that they don't want to sell them, that they're making good money. And I imagine down southeast, a lot of them corporations down there would got the timber, you know, want to hang on to it because they've been having some pretty good timber sales and oil leases up North Slope. And right now I've been listening on the TV there. They're trying to get a zinc mine going up around Bethel. And if they can get something like that going, you know, they can make some money on it. Right here, the way it looks now, where there isn't much here for outlook on the land what we have, because most of our income in this part of the country was on fishing, salmon, crab, and halibut. And right now that's going downhill pretty bad. Like, we got a crab season here tomorrow for 24 hours, and you can't make too much money in 24 hours. If it blow, you lose the season. And we had a salmon season this summer where we had 3 days in June. And if your alarm clock didn't ring one morning, you missed 1/3 of the season. So it don't look that good, you know.
If you're both late, you missed it all, eh?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not looking that bright up here on what you could do with your corporation. And if the fishing go down, the people are going to leave the community, you know, if it gets any worse than it is. So, to me, I don't know just what's going to happen. And sure, I can turn my stock over to my, I got a lot of grandchildren. And if that's the way it's planned to go, probably that's the way it will go. But I wouldn't hesitate to sell it.
Most people in this town make their living commercial fishing, eh?
That's right.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Osterholm.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add, Mr. Gunderson?
Selling the land 1991, I think be really a lot of people would sell it because you're not making anything on it the way it is. I'm pretty sure we got a lot of people selling it if they can.
How do you feel about it yourself?
Well, I think I would sell mine too because it's no good the way it is, not making anything on it.
Okay, well, maybe since Mr. Gallivan is here, we could.
I would say this, that when you or I or anyone belongs to a corporation, a profit, and hopefully you'll make a profit, you do whatever you can to protect the financial health of this corporation. This was one point against the share, issuing a share to the members, but let's